We are all beggars. This is the truth. Children of the Heavenly Father, safely in His bosom gather, nestling bird or star in heaven, such a refuge ne'er was given. Happy Father's Day. Tomorrow, right? But tomorrow begins at 6 p.m. on Saturday night, so it's already Sunday for the Lord's people. Happy Father's Day. Did you hear what the scripture lesson said? St. Paul says, you have been baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus. You have been clothed, so to speak, dressed in the righteousness of Jesus. You are now inheritors of promise. Children, sons and daughters of Abraham and Sarah, heirs according to promise, right? And now God has poured His Spirit into your hearts, the Spirit of His Son, Jesus, so that Jesus living in you cries out, did you hear it? Abba, Father. I've got 6 grandchildren and another one on the way. But my firstborn grandchild, Nora, one of the first words that she could say, Baba. You could call me Baba if you want, but it wouldn't be the same because you're not my grandchild. My grandchildren can call me Baba because we have a relationship that you can't even put into words. That's what Paul is saying to the church at Galatia when he says, don't mess with the gospel. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. There's no other gospel. I got it directly, he said, from a revelation of Jesus Christ. And then he says, you've been under a custodian. The law has been kind of like a pedagogue. It's been taking you to school, making sure you do your homework, disciplining you, etc. But now that law has been fulfilled in Jesus and fulfilled in your life through your union with Christ in baptism. Paul says, for as many of you as were baptized have been clothed, so to speak. You put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male and female. You're all one. You're sons, inheritors, children of Abraham and Sarah. You've got a promise. And God has given you the privilege of calling Him Abba, Father. Did you know that we are invited as children of God to call God Father, Abba. When Jesus was asked by His disciples, and you are His disciples, Lord, teach us to pray. He taught them the Lord's Prayer, also known as Our Father. Happy Father's Day, huh? Yes. God has given you, not the world. See, no one has the right. No one has the invitation to call God Father except the baptized. Those who have been adopted, Paul says, into the kingdom, into the family, and who are now sons and daughters of the same Heavenly Father. Don't take that gift lightly. When we celebrate Father's Day, don't forget your Heavenly Father who, in the name of His Son Jesus, has given you the privilege, the gift, and the honor of calling Him Abba, Father. Fathers want the best for their kids. Fathers want to protect their children and their grandchildren from harm. I am protective. I am overprotective. I am someone who hovers. Because I don't want harm to come to those that I love. I want to save them. I want to rescue them. I want to protect them. When my daughter Jenna was young, elementary age, she had a good friend named Shana. Shana Motes lived right across our backyard. And one day I was responsible, and I try to be responsible, for watching, keeping an eye on the kids. And I'm at the kitchen sink doing some dishes, and there's a window there, and I can look out into the backyard, and I go, what in the world? And sure enough, 30 feet up in a tree is Shayna and my daughter Jenna. And they've got jelly bellies on. You know what those things are on your feet? They're like slippery. They're like an accident waiting to happen. It's not like good hiking shoes or tennis shoes that are going to grab onto the bark of a tree. This is crazy. My chest gets all tight. I've got knots in my stomach. I know that something bad's going to happen. I'm in a panic. I want to go out there and just ream those girls out. I want to just scream at the top of my lung and say, you idiot, get down here now. But you know what I would do? I would scare the daylights out of them. And I would make them fall. And they'd break their neck or die. And that would be the death of me. Thank goodness God's Spirit overruled my heart that day when I was in a panic. I went out there quickly. I said, Jenna, what are you doing up there? You and Shayna having fun, I bet, huh? You need to come down now. Oh, Dad, it's beautiful up here. We're so high, we can see everything. You need to come down now, okay? I got something I want to tell you. I can hear you, Dad. Just go ahead and say it. I can hear you way up here. No, I need to tell you it in secret. You need to come down, okay? And you know, whether or not you've ever climbed a tree, you do know, it's not so hard climbing up because the hands and the eyes are pretty close together. But we don't have eyes by our feet. And when you come down, it's a whole different matter. And I was still in a panic until both of those girls were on the ground, safe and sound. And then, so much for whispering and being gentle. That's when they heard the wrath of God, right? The father who doesn't want to see his little ones harmed or hurt in any way. What do you think you're doing? Are you crazy? You could have broken your neck. You would have fallen. And look at those dumb jelly bellies you got on. What were you thinking? I've never forgotten that day. You know what the Lord taught me that day? I know what you're thinking. Be more responsible, Dave. You're not hovering enough. You're supposed to protect those girls. What were you doing, sleeping on the job? No, that's not what the Lord said. You know what the Lord said to me? He said, David, do you know who loves them way more than you ever could? Do you know who their father is, their real father? Do you know, David? Do you know that I've claimed them in my kingdom? They're my children forever. Do you know that, David? You think you can protect them? You think you can save them from harm? You can't. But I can. And so when I baptized my two daughters, I had tears streaming like a river of baptismal water down my cheeks. Because that was my confession. That was the day that I realized baptism is not just some hocus pocus, let's take a snapshot and put it in the scrapbook. No, no. In baptism, I was confessing that these kids are not mine. They never were. They never are. If you've got kids or grandkids, they're not yours. And in baptism, God says, you know that, right? I put my name on them. I've marked them with my cross. You know that, right? They belong to me. But you get to treasure them. You get to hold them. You get to have them for maybe 2 years or 20 years or maybe 50 years. I don't know how long. But you get to steward them and care for them. But never forget whose child they are. You can call God Abba. That's what Jesus says. Because the Spirit of God's Son has been poured into our hearts, because Jesus is our Lord and Savior, because we've been baptized into His death and His resurrection, because earthly parents can only protect their children so much for a while. But our Heavenly Father protects His children forever. Though He giveth or He taketh, God His children ne'er forsaketh his the loving purpose solely to preserve them pure and holy. Chapter 8 of the Gospel of Luke begins with an announcement that Jesus and the 12 are traveling throughout cities and villages. They're casting out demons, and they're healing people of infirmities. And when that chapter begins, we hear about three women that are healed. And one of them is Mary of Magdala, Mary Magdalene, who had seven demons cast out. Seven was a perfect number. That means that she was completely possessed, totally incapacitated. And Jesus healed her when no one else could. And she became a follower for life. Immediately preceding our gospel for tonight, Jesus has gotten into the boat. They're going to the other side. Are they crazy? You know the other side. That's where we call the Golan Heights today. But that's pagan territory. That's where the unclean people are. People that take care of pigs and work with pigs and eat pork. And why in the world would you go straight across the Sea of Galilee? Storms come up fast. No, if you're smart, you just hover around. Yeah, it takes longer, but you go around the edge so you can always see shore, so you're always safe. You hover, right? You know what happens in that story immediately preceding our gospel? Jesus is asleep. He's in the boat. That's the image of the church, you know. He's in the boat and he's sleeping. And a terrible windstorm comes up and the water is raging. And the disciples are in a panic. And they say, they wake Jesus up, they shake him up, they say, "Master, Master, don't you care that we are perishing?" That's an important word. You've got to know that word. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him may not perish." See, dying is one thing. We're all going to die. But perishing, that's eternal, eternal separation from God. They probably mean, "Don't you care that we're going to die out here in the lake?" They don't say that, though. They say, "Don't you care that we are perishing?" Well, of course he cares. But do you think he's going to let a little thing like wind and water keep him from taking a nap? It says in the story that Jesus rebuked the wind and the water. The word rebuke means he did an exorcism. In other words, the wind and the water was demon-possessed. He exorcised the demons in the wind and the water, and there was a calm. They said, "Who is this that commands wind and water?" Wind and water. And they obey. You see, the early church understood that baptism was an exorcism. And the early church understood our gospel lesson for tonight as a baptismal story and as a misplaced Easter or resurrection story. And even to this day, in the LBW, the Green Hymnal, page 121 and following, the service of holy baptism, there is an exorcism in there. You probably miss it. You've probably been through that service hundreds of times. I ask you to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, reject sin, and confess the faith of the church, the faith in which we baptize. Do you renounce all the forces of evil, the devil and his empty promises? I do. That's an exorcism. Do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in God the Son? Do you believe in God the Holy Spirit? A threefold confession. Since the time of the early church, for 2,000 years, you see what's happening in our gospel for tonight and in the story preceding it? When Jesus arrives on the other side, the place of paganism, he's immediately met by a man that has demons. What's your name? Jesus says. Legion. A legion was 6,000 Roman soldiers. This man can't be held by chains. He can no longer be with community and family. They make him reside with the tombs. And he's buck naked. And he's out of his mind. And Jesus heals him, puts him into unclean vessels, pigs. And where do the pigs end up? In the water. The sea was the abyss. The very place that the demon didn't want to end up is exactly where Jesus sends them. Literally, to hell with you. And that's what happened. And they're drowned. The word baptizo, baptism, literally means to drown or to completely submerge. That's why some people have dunk tanks for baptism, so that it really is a submersion, right? But it doesn't matter how much water you have, because you can drown in a teaspoon of water. But it's a death, and it's a resurrection. And that's what our gospel is telling us for tonight. And what's going to happen when people hear the news? Well, the farmers come out and they're crazy. They're beside themselves. They're possessed. We're begging you, Jesus, get out of here now. See, they got their calculator out and they realize we lost 2,000 pigs today. If this guy is crazy enough to keep healing people, I mean, you would think, wouldn't you, that they'd come out and they'd say, you know what, this guy was a lost cause. He was as good as dead. And Jesus healed him. Let's have a party. Imagine what his mama and papa's going to say. They get their boy back. Imagine what grandma and grandpa are going to say. When the little one comes, you know, and he says, Baba? They would have never imagined it, right? Oh, no, no, no. Get the calculator out. 2,000 pigs. You know how much money that is? This guy is going to cost us a fortune. They want Jesus to leave. But you heard about the young man that was demon-possessed? That was exercised, that now he is clothed in his right mind, the mind of Jesus. And where is he sitting? At the feet of Jesus. That's the posture of a disciple. And he begs Jesus to let him follow him in the boat. And Jesus says, you got to stay here because you got to go home. And you got to keep telling the word. You see, people will keep sending Jesus away. And it's our job, our call, our baptismal commission to keep going home, to keep praying, getting down on our knees and begging for the salvation of God's people. And they might be in your house, and they might be across the road, in your neighborhood, they might be a few blocks away, but you know who they are. Because God knows who they are. And God wants to have them in the family, and God wants them to call him Abba also. When I was in Lake Lillian, my first parish, I wrote devotions on the Gospel of Mark. 20 of them for third graders, 9-year-old kids. And I still remember a young girl named Stacia. God has blessed her with two kids, a wonderful marriage. She survived radical mastectomy as a 32-year-old with extreme cancer, breast cancer and stuff. I still remember Stacia. When she was 9 years old, when they finished the family devotions, they needed to call me for an in-home visit. So I go out to the farm. And we sit at the table, and Mom and Dad are listening, and I'm visiting with Stacia, and I would always ask the same question, what's your favorite devotion? And Stacia said, I didn't have a favorite, but I have one that I hate. I said, really? You didn't like one of these? I hated it. I said, which one? Day 8. Miracles, burdens, or blessings? She said, those 2,000 pigs. I said, that's my favorite. You didn't like that one? She said, my dad is a pig farmer. If we lost 2,000 pigs, we'd be broke. We wouldn't have any money. We'd lose everything. Why would Jesus do that? I don't like that story. I looked at Stacia and I said, you think Jesus hates pigs? You think Jesus hates farmers? She said, why would he do that? I said, let me tell you a story, Stacia. Let's say that you were really sick, like that guy who was living in the cemetery. And there's only one thing that could make you well. You had to be flown out to New York, to some kind of a hospital, because it's the only doctor that does this surgery, and it's going to cost like mega dollars. And your mom and your dad would have to sell their truck, their tractors, the car, the house, the farm, the pigs. I said, do you think they'd do that? Or do you think that they'd say, well, we feel really bad about this, but at least we got Stacia's older brother and Stacia's little sister. So we still got two left. I said, what do you think your parents would do? She said, I don't know. I said, ask them. And Donnie Bull, he says, we'd sell everything. We'd get rid of everything if it meant you could have the surgery and be saved. I said, you know why your mom and dad would do that? 9 year old goes, I said, ask them. Her mother said, because we love you. Because we love you. I said, you know how much your mom and dad love you? I said, what do you think Jesus was trying to teach us in that story? Oh, yeah, the house, the car, the pigs, it's all important. It's all possessions. And possessions are never more important than people. This sick man was made well, was restored to community, was saved by Jesus. Isn't that a celebration? And Stacia understood. You see, we live in a crazy world. We do. Where moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas want to do everything they can to protect and save the kids. And sometimes our hands are tied and we can't do a thing about it, except get on our knees and beg and plead that the one who loves them way more than we do will heal them and hold them and care for them. I read a story in a Christian magazine. It was about a father that had a daughter and two sons. And the youngest son had done what was a no-no. You see, dad was a pastor, and dad had expensive books, and you know how expensive books are, like this book right here, $600. So you know that, right? I mean, books can be expensive. So dad had a brand new hymnal. And you know what the little boy, John, did? He got his pen out, and he marked it all up on the first page. I mean, he's just going to have a heyday. The older brother said, oh my gosh. He was just waiting to see what the punishment was going to be. You know what dad did? He took that brand new expensive hymnal and he takes the pen that little John had written with. He writes, John, 1959, age 2. He said, now this is my sacred treasure. And the older brother thinks, what? That's his punishment? Now it's my sacred treasure. A family goes to Orlando, Disney World, and a little two-year-old is snatched by an alligator. An Islamic terrorist during Ramadan participates in a jihad and slays or wounds 100-plus people. A little boy in Byron is supposed to go to kindergarten this fall, and he's out playing with his siblings, and they're in a wagon, and he goes down the hill and up through the ditch and onto the road and gets hit by a car and is killed. A little daughter is climbing with her best friend Shayna 30 feet up in a tree. You see, our scriptures for tonight remind us that God has given us the gift of calling him Abba, Father. Nestling bird or star in heaven, such a refuge ne'er was given. Do you know how much he loves you? That's why he says, call me Abba, call me Father, for you are my child forever. Amen. We rise as we are able. Hymn number 201. 201.